talk about our great high priest and the new covenant. This will be part two. I wish they can put that topic up there. Our great what? High priest. Let's say it together. Our great high priest and the new covenant. The two things, our great high priest and our new covenant. And if you can settle down and listen, it will help you. Even those of you in the booth, it will help you to listen. This is what Paul was talking to the church about. You know, the church used to the cross, and that's true. That's what we're celebrating. But Paul was trying to bring to them that there was something that happened after the cross that is equally important. So as he was trying to share this truth with them, they were not getting it. They were not understanding. So he got frustrated. He said, I'm not going to keep on teaching you the basic things of Christianity. All these things about, you know, salvation, laying on of hands, baptism, and baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm not going to be doing that. He said, we should move on to other things. He said, but the problem is that you are not interested. He said, you are dull at hearing. And he said, he really gave it to them. He said, why you are supposed to be matured to understand this thing? You are still what? Babes. He really gave it to them straight. He said, I can't be doing this. Every day I come and teach you basic salvation, repentance from dead work, and all that. He said, there are other things that you should also know that are very important. And then finally, the Lord moved him to write it, because it's for us to also know. If he didn't write it, we'll not know what happened. So he went on, and you find that in the Hebrew church he was talking to, that's where the ministry, the high priestly ministry of Jesus was extensively discussed, explained, written for the church. And that's what he was telling them. He said, I can't keep on talking about salvation. And he said, there are other things I want to share with you. He said, though they are difficult to understand, I know, but you should have matured to be able to understand it by now. So he went on to write about the high priest, the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you that you can be a Christian for 14, 15, 50 years and never hear anybody teach about the high priestly ministry of Jesus, because Paul said it's difficult to understand. So I know that. But you should be mature to get it. You should be mature to get it. And that ministry, the high priestly ministry of Jesus, is the culmination of an event that started on the cross and ended in heaven and then brought us our redemption. Praise the Lord. And so when God instituted the high priest, actually when God called Israel out, it wasn't a favoritism thing. It was just God wanted to put in place a system that will illustrate to the church the real deal. It wasn't that God called the Jews out just because he favors a group of people. No. But he needed a group of people to use to show us what the real deal will be in future. Amen. If he didn't do animal sacrifices, we won't understand sacrifice. And so God, when God called them out and instituted for them through Moses the old covenant, he also gave them the priesthood and the high priest. And then the job of every priest, according to the scripture, is to minister before God on the things concerning men. So he will bring sacrifice and bring gifts on behalf of the people to God. And so, when God instituted the temple, and he said to Moses, make sure you do this according to the pattern I have what? Showing you, because I'm mimicking something in heaven. He said, make sure you do it exactly according to the pattern I'm showing you, because it's exactly the pattern in heaven that I want to show my people what it looks like, so they can relate with it when I tell them about the things that I don't see. So, the high priestly ministry came, and then their job was to bring, they did the sacrifice, but like we said on Friday, the sacrifice was not done in the altar. It was done outside the church. And then the blood was what the high priest brought behind the curtain. And when he came in and he brought the blood and did the sacrifice of the blood, they brought the blood before the throne and sprinkled the mercy seat with the blood, the Bible made us understand that Israel was good to go for 1 year. So in 1 year, they will enjoy all the covenants, the blessings. If you fought them, they would deal with you. They had all those privileges given to them. It was a very limited system, extremely limited, because it didn't take care of the sins of people. What God had in mind wasn't that thing. What God had in mind was the salvation of the whole world. It wasn't just for Israel to enjoy for 1 year. What God had in mind was superior to what was happening. But God says, let me use this as a shadow to show you people, to illustrate to you the spiritual realities of what will happen and will affect the whole world. So that process of the high priest was severely limited in that the blood could not wash away the sins of the people. It simply covered it. So every year they came, they had still have the consciousness of sin because their sin was not washed. It was simply covered. And so the scripture tells us in Hebrew 9, verse 8. It says, by these regulations, the Holy Spirit... I thought we had something going. Okay. By these regulations, the Holy Spirit revealed that entrance into the most holy place was not yet freely what? Open. As long as that tabernacle and the system it represented were in place. He said, The entrance into the real presence of God was not yet opened, was not yet revealed. So the people will come and sit outside, but they can't come into the presence of God, in spite of all that sacrifice that the high priests were doing. And then God gave them a law. The Bible says that if you have a priest, there's necessity to have a law that the high priest uses to know that people have sinned. So he cannot sacrifice for them. So he said there's necessity to have a law. And then God gave them the law through Moses. But the law could not make them perfect, because they were failing. And like we said on Friday, actually the main purpose of the law is to reveal that we're sinners. Because if there's no law, you call me a sinner, I'll be asking, what law did I break? So God gave the law. The law has always been. If it wasn't Moses that invented, it has always been. It has always been. That was God's standard, has always been. God didn't wake up early in the morning and begin thinking what to write for Moses. No, it has always been. In the beginning was the word, it has always been. The word of God wasn't something invented all of a sudden, it has always been. The Bible says, in the beginning was what? The word. The word was always with. So he gave it to Moses and said, Moses, this is my standard, you know. Don't give it to these people so that this was showed them when they sin, the high priest will come and do this because of their sins. And boy, were they breaking it left, right, and center. They were. And then the thing showed us that man could not keep the standard of God, because man has fallen. For all have sinned and fallen short of God's standard. All have fallen. So this law was just confirming what God knew about us, that we had fallen. Because when Adam fell, we all fell. And we're born in sin. And so that law could not make anybody perfect. Hebrews 7:19. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope by which we draw nigh unto God. He said, the law did not make them perfect to come in the presence of God. That God was going to bring in a better hope, a better system through which we are going to draw nigh unto God. And he told us that all of this system that God put in place was just a preview, was just a shadow. In Hebrews 10, verse 1. The old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow. What was that? Can I hear you? Come on. What did he say it was? A shadow. Not a shadow, a dim preview of what God was going to do. And you know, man's problem was really spiritual, because his spirit had died. Even though man was moving around, the soul that sinner shall what? Man died. Man really died, because he was separated from God, was separated from life itself. He was dead in sin and trespasses. It was his spirit. His flesh is sinful. His flesh is naturally what? Sinful. So God is not talking about his flesh. His flesh is rotten. When he dies, the thing is going to the where it came from. But it was his spirit that was the issue. So his problem was spiritual, not carnal, not physical. His spirit had problem. His spirit has acquired the nature of Satan. He has really acquired a dangerous nature, and man was lost forever. That thing you do, you see the priest doing, there was a more serious issue. All of them sitting in that temple were lost. All of them. A to Z, they were lost. That sacrifice couldn't bring them into the presence of God in life or in death. No. No. So man was lost. So the problem God was going to solve is not a superficial something. It's something that goes deeper than the things you see the high priest doing. God was going to employ a spiritual solution to a spiritual problem. And only him could do that. Can I hear amen? And so God, in his love, because for God so loved, he set into motion. Somebody shout hallelujah. Man, I'm just so thrilled. He set into motion. He set into motion his plan to bring in that better hope through which you approach God now, whether in life or in death. And remember that because the whole thing was in the temple in Jerusalem, man, so it means if it's today, we need to travel to where? Jerusalem. And some of you have never entered a plane before. So how do you go? Some of you came here by boat or ship. Especially if you are from Ekulobia, it's likely you came by boat or ship. So you could see the great limitation of that system. That's what Jesus was saying to the woman. The woman said, you people say that in Jerusalem we worship God. Jesus said, a time is come. Neither in Jerusalem nor where? A time is coming. What I came to institute, we give you the privilege to worship God wherever you are. That's what Jesus was telling you. He said, because it's a spiritual issue. He said, so those that God wants those who worship him to worship him in what? In spirit and in truth. Your problem is spiritual. So that thing in Jerusalem can't solve it. So God needed two things. Number one, he needed a sacrifice that can be brought into heaven itself. And he needed a priest that can come into heaven itself. That had no sin. Can't come into heaven if you are sin. And he needed the blood that can wash away, not cover, the sins of man. Hebrews 9:23. I'm just trying to go through this so that some of you who are not here on Friday will catch up on what. This summer I won't finish today. I think next Sunday I'll finish it. But let's see how far we go. So, Hebrews 9:23. But the real things in heaven have to be purified with far better sacrifices than the blood of animals. He said the real deal, the altar in heaven, the sacrifice that was needed should be far better than the blood of what? Animals. And the man himself cannot, his blood is rotten because he's dead in sin. And so if you bring his blood, it's sinful. You remember David wanted to build a temple for the Lord, and God said, there's blood in your hand. So you can't do that. You have blood in your hand. Say, David, you have blood in your hand. You won't do that. Your son will do that. So there wasn't any blood found anywhere. No. Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus. But we see who? Jesus. Who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God. That was the love of God in motion. Pray the love is an action thing. I like what the women president said some time ago. He said, we love our men, but it's action. So we're going to cook for them. Remember, president and your men came and ate and ate and ate some more. She was correct. Love is action. Faith is action. Love is action. Say it with me. Faith is also what? Action. Listen to me. Let me tell you something. If your word has no motion, is worthless. It's your word. That's why the Bible says, be ye doers of what? If it has no motion or activity, it has no life, it's worthless. Totally worthless. Completely worthless. You say to God, I love you, but you can't pay your tithe, can't give him anything. It's worthless. It's not true. The same thing with faith. You say, for I believe. God says, show me your faith by your works. I want to see your faith in motion. Amen? So the love of God has motion. So God set in motion, and by the grace of God, let me read it again, Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God, by the grace of God, by the grace, not by me or you or anything, it's the grace of God, unmerited favor, unmerited action, unmerited, and still more unmerited favor of God, the love and mercy. The scripture says it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. And his mercy what? Endureth forever. That's what the scripture is referring to. He said it is the grace of God that brought us salvation. It's the mercy of God that we are not consumed by our sinfulness. So he said, through the grace of God, that he might test death for how many people? Everyone. You see how God wants to open the door for everyone instead of them in Jerusalem. So God chose Jesus to be a sacrificial lamb of God. Can we hear amen now? I said on Friday that's what, when Jesus was born, he was born in a manger, because he came in as a lamb. And where do you find lambs? In the manger. There was no room. That language, there was no room, is significant. God doesn't play around with words. Say, well, there was no room for him in the inn. Because this, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of him. Animals don't live. Especially Americans have, they now have all manner of pigs, including snakes. I saw one man, he had snake. I say, and the other person would say, isn't she beautiful? The snake was in. I said, isn't she beautiful? I looked at them, I walked my way past. Praise the Lord. And then God appointed him priest because he was sinless. Hebrews 7:26. He is the kind of priest we need because he's holy and blameless, unstained by sin. He's the kind of priest we need because he's what? Holy and blameless, unstained by sin. He has been set apart from the rest of all sinners and has been given the highest place of honor in heaven. In heaven. Praise the Lord. So God found his man. He found the lamb. Who was that? He found the priest. Who was that? We talk only about the lamb, but we don't talk about the priest. That's what Paul was trying to teach the church. That the story starts with the lamb and ends with the what? The high priest. You can't keep away that one. It's very important. Very critical. He said, you are not understanding. He said, you people are just dull out here. He said, I keep explaining salvation to you. I want to teach you about the high priest. Because God found the lamb, yep. We know it. This is the lamb of the Lord, the lamb of God. Yes, but this is the God's high priest also. Amen. Hebrews 5:5. So also, Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he had he that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he said also in another place, thou art a priest forever, after the order of what? Now, I mentioned some time ago that every single time the Holy Spirit talks about the high priesthood of Jesus, he will say it is after the order of Melchizedek. That is significant. It's not just talk. It's significant. Read the book of Hebrews. Everything the Holy Spirit will talk about, that he will remind you that this is after the order of what? What is order? Patterned after this. It wasn't patterned after Aaron's priesthood. It was patterned after the order of Melchizedek. And the Melchizedek has no beginning. Has no, and the Bible said it's like unto the Son of God. Nobody knows who he is. And the Bible said he remained a priest for, if you ask me, I will tell you that that's the Lord himself. I will tell you that. Because, he said, why should you say that, Pastor? Because in the wilderness, in every dispensation and act of God, we see Jesus in action. In the wilderness, it was the rock. They said that rock was who? Christ. Praise the Lord. So in this dispensation before the law, because Abraham lived under the time of limited grace. He said, why? Because there was no law. There was no law. He just lived by faith. And his faith was counted for him as righteousness. And the Holy Spirit put Abraham for us in the book of Romans, Galatians, Hebrew, Corinthians. He splattered the man all over the place. He said, watch this man's faith and follow him. His righteousness was the righteousness of faith. Am I correct? Church, come on. He paid tithe to the priesthood of Melchizedek. And Jesus said, Abraham saw my days and rejoiced. I want to go there. It's a lot of stuff. But let me stay where I am. So, he was appointed a high priest after the order of who? Melchizedek. Now, remember that the high priest, with these sacrifices were not made in the temple. They were killed outside. Now, Jesus also was killed where? Outside. Watch what God said to Moses. You must do this thing after the pattern I'm showing you, because I'm following. What we are going to do is going to follow the same pattern. The same pattern. So, in Hebrews 11, verse 1, for the bodies of those priests, those beasts, I don't think I need this thing. Making me heat. All right, so Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 1. For the bodies of those beasts, the bodies of those what? Beasts, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by who? The high priest. Are burned without where? The camp. Now, continue. Wherefore, Jesus also, come on, church. Therefore, Jesus what? Also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered where? Outside the gate. Following the same pattern. He said, Jesus suffered after the gate. These bodies of animals were burnt outside the gate. And the blood was brought into the altar. He said, Jesus also, the Lamb of God also, was slaughtered where? Outside the gate. So that his blood can also be brought where? But not into the sanctuary where the priests of Aaron were ministering. Are you following me? If you are following me, say amen. This is what Paul was trying to teach them. Hebrew church, they were confused. But this church is not confused. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. So our high priest Jesus rose from the dead and took his blood right into the presence of God. Because he's God's high priest, spotless, without sin. So he took this blood into the presence of God. Just like the high priest would take the blood of animal into the what? Altar. And so let's read it. If this is what the Bible tells us. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. I think Hebrews 9:24. Not 10. Hebrews 9:24. For Christ did not enter into a holy place made with what? Human hands. Which was only a copy of the true one in heaven. He entered into where? Heaven itself. To appear now before God Almighty. When the high priest went in there, who was he representing? The Jews there. He wasn't representing you, the Gentile. Representing the Jews who were in covenant with God. The old covenant was not given to the Gentiles. It was given strictly for who? Jews. That's when Jesus came, this woman came, he said, I was not sent, but to the lost sheep of what? He said, what you're asking is not for you. You have no covenant. And the Holy Spirit writing, he said, at that time we were without Christ, hopeless, without covenant, nothing. Then verse 11 of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. So Christ has now become the high priest. Christ has now become what? Over all the good things that have now come. He has entered that greater, more perfect, what? Tabernacle, where? Where did the Aaron's high priest enter? On earth. Why did Jesus enter? In heaven. What did he enter with? With his own blood. In heaven. Which was not made by human hands, and is not part of this created world. So when he entered there, he established a new covenant. Can I hear amen? Exactly, as soon as the high priest entered that altar and came out, Israel's sin was covered. Am I right? Come on now. Am I right? And they could now enjoy the blessings of God. None of it because of what they did, but because of what the high priest, the blood he brought, and his ministry. If he didn't go there, he was the only one appointed. If he didn't go there, that covenant will not be in it, will not be working. Will not be working. It will not be ratified. Because the Bible says that the covenant is in effect when the testator dies and the evidence of death is blood. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So when Jesus went in there, he established a new covenant. Because of that blood, brethren, the sins of mankind has been... The Bible said he died because of the whole world, not for the Jews alone. Not for the Jews alone. That blood that he took in wasn't for the Jews alone. God opened his grace wide. God threw in his grace. There was fullness of release of divine grace and divine mercy. And that's why the scripture said that Moses brought the law, but Christ brought us what? Grace. There was fullness of grace. Everybody say fullness of grace. Come on, say it louder. Fullness of grace. Say it louder. Fullness of grace. So because of that blood, the sins of the whole world was washed. Not covered. Praise the Lord. Which means you don't have to be in Jerusalem. Anywhere you are. Anywhere, that's what Jesus was saying. Neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Anywhere you are, the effect of that sacrifice will touch you and give you the privilege that your sins are washed what? Away. Acts chapter 13, verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore. Be it known unto you, what? Therefore. Men and brethren, that through this man, called him a man, through this man, our great high priest, you didn't call him through this God, say through this man, is preached unto you, what? I didn't hear you. Come on, I didn't hear you. You see the problem Paul encountered? They didn't believe him. He was trying to teach this. They were throwing back. You see, because the devil will counter it and say, hey, this thing will make you commit sin now. It's not the devil's argument. It's the devil's theology. Brethren, I'm telling you, it's not only you have received forgiveness of sin, you also received redemption from the control of sin. If that blood wasn't shed and our sins washed away, our nature will not be changed. And our problem was spiritual. It wasn't character thing. It was deeper than character. Man's nature was sinful. By nature, we were children of Disobedience. Our nature was disobedient by nature. That's what we were. The Bible said we are following diverse laws and everything. So it's not just that we committed sin, it's that our nature was terrible. So you need to know the power in that blood. That blood went to heaven and released divine grace, that God himself took his hand and took me and changed our nature and circumcised us and took away that nature of sin and nailed it outside and said, you are now born again. The devil comes and says, no, he makes you commit sin. No, tell him, no, he makes me not to commit sin because he brought me the ability to resist sin, which I didn't have before. He gave me something I didn't have, a new nature, the nature of God. He brought me home to God, not just to the altar, but he brought me home into the family of God so I can be called a child of God. Somebody praise the Lord. Colossians 1:14. In whom we have what? What is redemption? Oh, no. Whoa. In whom we have redemption through what? That blood. So what is redemption? You sing it every time. If I call the instrumentalist now, you start dancing. So you dance. What is it now you are dancing for? What is redemption? If you know, lift up your hand. I want to hear you. What is redemption? Let's hear from people from Oka. Umuobu, what is redemption? Restoration. Okay? What is redemption? Pay for what? What's redemption? Being from what? From what? No, don't help them. From what? Come on, from what? We must understand it, because if you say something, you must know what it means. Now, he said we receive redemption through his blood. So, what is redemption? What is another word we use for redemption? Salvation. Redemption is to set you free. Redemption is freedom. No, doctor, I won't use it today. God, they come. It's me and you in this church. They will know both of us. Redemption is what? Freedom. He's tied, right? What ties him? The power of sin. How did sin tie him? How did sin tie him? Through Adam. He was born with a nature he can't change. The Bible says, can a leper change what? He can't change it. It's beyond him. He's bound by it. Totally bound by it. So his problem wasn't what he was doing. The problem is the source. His spirit has been corrupted. When Adam fell, he acquired the nature of Satan. Deeper than what the high priest of Aaron could handle. He needed the hand of God himself. Praise the Lord. And this man cannot come because he is dead in sin and God is of a purer eye to behold iniquity. So he can't come. He's bound by another thing. What is the other thing? Let me tie it to a God. He's bound by another thing. What's the other thing? What is the other thing? The devil. The Bible says he was a slave of sin and the devil was his father. Jesus said to the Jews, He said to the Jews, you are claiming to be Abraham's children. You have no idea that you are of your father, what? And his will you will do. You sold yourself to sin and the devil. I told somebody, I said, I don't know about politics. I don't have Democrats and Republicans. I have two groups of people, saved and unsaved, period. All these groups behave under one father. These people behave under another father. Case closed. When you talk of redemption, I want you to know where you are redeemed from. See. And then he had another one. The soul that sinneth what? He's condemned already. He's abiding in death. If he dies in this state, you know where he's heading? The Holy Spirit said we were without hope in this world. Hopeless without Christ. He cannot behave himself out of this. The same way, no matter how you have a dog and call him honey, call his name Stephen. He's a dog. Dress him up, put earring there, he's a dog can't behave his way into being a member of parliament, member of House of Assembly. You can't vote for a dog. There's something in this state. He doesn't have God's nature. It doesn't belong to him. He doesn't have God's spirit. He is distanced from God. And in the kingdom of darkness. I want you to know what redemption means. The blood of animal couldn't do that. So when Jesus walked in there with his blood, in the real sanctuary of heaven, the blood of Jesus, the blood of God, heaven rose up! Heaven rose up! And God released grace. Mercy. Mercy. The blood started to speak. Mercy. He said, he speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. Mercy, mercy, mercy. And God said, yep, the sins are washed away. And God came and took this nature that he couldn't take away and took it away and turned him around, pulled him from this kingdom into his own kingdom. And here now, he's now in the family of God as a child of God. His name is called by the name of God too. Can I hear amen? Amen. Church, can I hear amen? Amen? All of that was possible only by that blood. If he didn't go there, we'll remain in our sins. I don't care what to talk about. That's what Paul was trying to teach them, but they couldn't understand it. They couldn't get it. The man got frustrated. He said, am I going to be teaching you all these basic things? Let's understand why you are redeemed. So you know, when you say I'm redeemed, you know exactly what happened. Now, that thing that he did, that he gave us free, does it make you commit sin or set you free from sin? Come on, answer me. Some are saying, sure. Does it make you commit sin or does it set you free from sin? So when the devil comes and says, no, how can it be? Your sins are forgiven. He will make you come and say, no. It's not only my sins are forgiven, I'm also what? Redeemed from the power of sin. Redeemed from your power also. And I'm free. So the Bible says, Colossians 1:14. I want us to read it together. In whom we have what? Redemption through what? His blood. Even also what? Forgiveness of sins. So he sent us on a mission. We read it in Acts 13. That it be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you forgiveness of sins is being preached. Divine mercy, fullness of grace. Your sins are forgiven because of his blood. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Church, I said, praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:18. And all things are of God. He said, this is from God. It's not from you. Who had reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and had given us also the ministry of reconciliation. To wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world, what? Unto himself. Not imputing their trespasses. Why? Why is he not imputing their trespasses unto them? Because the blood was shed for them. They may not accept it. But the day they accept it, they come into the benefit too. There was a time you didn't accept it. But one day you went to the Lord and said, you are now my Lord and Savior. I accept it. And then you came into the benefit. It has always been there waiting for you. It wasn't the day you accepted it that Jesus said, okay, let me now die for you personally. It has always been there. Tap your neighbor and say, it has always been there. But the church is not preaching forgiveness of sin. Neither are they bringing message or telling people, look, go to Jesus. You are reconciled with him. He's no more your enemy. He's not your enemy. He didn't come here to condemn you. He's not your enemy. Go to him. It's okay. The church is telling them, you're a sinner. You confess your what? Sin. If you don't confess them, you can't go. And the Bible says, no. It's because of the blood. Not because of what he does. It is of God. It's from God. His grace, his mercy. The blood he took there was for him too, not only for you. Not only for you. Not only is for him too. Jesus was there for his as his own high priest too. He didn't know it. You just bring him and say, no, he died for you. He shed his blood for you. Take his blood into the sanctuary of God and confirm your salvation. Confirm your redemption. It's available. If only you can accept it, it is yours. That's the gospel. Anything you are asking a man to do is a false gospel. Because we are saved by grace through faith. And that not yourself. But it is a gift. Brethren, the scripture says the soul that sinned, the wages of sin is what? But we don't preach the second part. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through, it's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. The wickedness of man, we talk about your destruction. But the love of God, we talk about your salvation. He says, yeah, the wages of sin is death. We like to stop there. But the Holy Spirit said, no, continue. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through, why? For God so loved the world that he gave this. That whosoever believeth in him perish, but have what? And so, he now opened that new way. Remember, he says, by that institution that was in place, that the way into the Holy of Holy has not been revealed. That God was planning something better through which we can now come to God. Can we read Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14? Am I making sense? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a what? Church. This is the Holy Spirit writing to you and me. He said, listen, he says, seeing then now that we have a great what? High priest who has entered where? Heaven. Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold firm to what we believe. So believe it strongly. Hold firm to this thing. Don't let it go. Believe it strongly. Then continue. This high priest of ours understands our what? Weaknesses. For he faced all of the same testing we do, yet he did not sin. Verse 16. So now, tap your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. Wake him up. Come on. I'm talking to you. Wake him up. Say, I'm talking to you. Come on. So now, what happens? Let us come how? Boldly to the throne of King James put it, the throne of grace. Why is it the throne of grace? Somebody tell me. Why is it throne of grace? You have to understand this one too. Why is it throne of grace? Because of mercy. Why is it throne of grace? Why is it throne of grace? Why is it throne of grace? Merited. Why is it throne of grace? Why is it throne of grace? Why is it throne of grace? The blood of Jesus. He said, we have that high priest who did this thing for us. So let's hold fast to that we believe about that high priest. So we can now come to the throne of what? Because what is available there now is what? Grace and mercy. So let's finish reading it. So let us come how? Boldly to the throne of our gracious God, that we will receive his mercy and will find what? Grace. Who brought the grace? How did he bring it? By his death and by his high priestly ministry. He died outside the gate, brought his blood to God, and grace was available. Can I hear amen? So he said, he says, so Lord, yeah, thank you. Okay. So let us come boldly to the throne of what? Our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy. And we will find also grace to help us when we need it. When do you need it most? When you are in trouble. And you need it most every minute of the day. It's for you, right? Awesome. And me too. Nobody can stop you from going. Not even the devil. No preacher can stop you. You got to go to that throne of grace, because it is his mercy that will change your life. It is his grace that will change your life. It is his grace that will make you what you are. Paul said, and what I am by the grace of God. You can't run away from it. So I'm a sinner. Go! He will change you. He will teach you. He will repair you. He will make you what he wants you to be. All by his grace. You know, I can relate with Pastor Sina. He said, Pastor, he said, as you were teaching on Friday, he was crying. He said, God was revealing this to me through a song. Through a song. And he said, while you were preaching, is that the Spirit of God was taking me deeper. He said, I was crying all through. He came here, he couldn't talk. He said, I was dumbfounded. My eyes was being to the mystery of the blood of Jesus. I pray that God will open your eyes too. Hebrews 10. So Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are drawn nigh by the blood of Christ. Is that what it says? But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were what? Far off, are made nigh by what? The blood of Christ. Hebrews 10:18. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest again by what? Come on now. What's the common denominator we keep seeing here? By the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus. You know, let me disappoint some people. You know, we still have Pharisees. All the Pharisees here, I want to disappoint you. Your goodness can't take you there. You can sue me. It won't take you there. It's his blood. That's called humility. To humble yourself under the mighty hand of God is to say to God, except you do it, I can't do it. You walk into there and say, Lord, it's only by your grace, it's your blood. Then you see the grace of God unleash the power of God in your life. You know, we struggle with a lot of things because we don't understand what God is trying to show us. You want to come into my presence? Come with boldness because of the blood. If you come, you will find my grace is sufficient in every situation you find yourself. Amen? I said amen. So Hebrews 10:18. I want us to read 19 together.
Let's read 19 together.
Having therefore, brethren, what?
19. 19. Okay, since you don't have it, I can move on. Okay, let's read it together, everybody.
Having therefore, brethren, what? Boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Verse 20. By a new and living way, which he had consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having now what? A high priest over the house of God. What happens as a result? Let us draw nigh with true heart in full assurance of faith, having our heart sprinkled from this evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. He said, because of the blood and having that high priest, because of the blood and because of that high priest, let us come boldly now. That's what Paul was trying to teach them. He said, I'm trying to show you people that will have a high priest that guarantees this thing, but you people are not getting it. You got frustrated. He said, am I going to be teaching you salvation again? Salvation. I want to teach you something more. So you get the whole picture. So when you go to God, you remember that you have a high priest who took his blood right there and who still stands for you in the presence of God. Amen? And then, because of that, he guarantees you your healing, blessings, for everything. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better, what? What is a surety? What is a guarantor? Have you ever received loan without guarantor? Huh? Yeah, good credit guarantees you. So have you ever received, you have good credit, but your good credit guarantees, that's what they call collateral. You can't get it without collateral. That collateral can be your building. If we default, we take what? Your building. So your building guarantees you. If you want to buy a car, you show them your pay, so they are sure that you are earning. So the day you don't pay, they come and take the car early in the morning while you are sleeping. And they can now garnish your pay. Am I right? So what does it mean that Jesus is the surety of this covenant and the blessings? Huh? Okay, he's the guarantor. I know now how. He's saying by the virtue of his blood, the divine blessings are guaranteed you. But say it with me, by the virtue of his blood. Everybody say it with me. By the virtue of his blood, all the blessings of God are guaranteed for me. Say it one more time. By the virtue of his blood, all the blessings of God are guaranteed for me. Say it one more time. By the virtue of his blood, by the virtue of his blood, by the virtue of his blood, all the blessings of God are guaranteed for me. Do you know exactly how when the high priest went there, the blessings of God was guaranteed for Israel? Am I correct? No, when he went, the blessings of God are guaranteed for you and for me. So all we need to do is to accept it by faith. That's how I live my life. I don't struggle with anything. When I was in ignorance, it's over. I don't struggle. Ask my wife. I can sleep anytime. I take coffee, I sleep. I don't struggle with nothing. Because I know the blood guarantees me divine favor. The Bible says he surrounds the righteous with what? Favor. Because of the blood. Nothing God promised me, I will miss nothing. Because if you believe that, you get it. Praise the Lord. So let's read some few more scriptures and I'll close. Next Sunday, I'll finish it. Next Sunday, I'll take you to the second part of this covenant. Really, next Sunday, we'll dissect the covenant. We're going to dissect it, the first part, the second part of the new covenant. We're really going to delve into it and dissect it so you see how it is. Are you getting anything?
Now, Hebrews 7:22. Let's read it again. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a what? A better testament. Let's go to Hebrews 9:15. For this cause, he's made the mediator of what? A new testament by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament. They which are called might receive now the promise of what? Eternal inheritance because of the sacrifice. And he presented that blood before God. Now, let me disappear. I want to read this scripture to all the Pharisees here. If you are a Pharisee and Sadducee, this is for you. All the Pharisees say, praise the Lord. Romans 3:27. Where is boasting then? He's asking, why do you boast? What am I going to boast about? He said, where is boasting? Because everything is given to you by grace. So where is the boasting from? Where is boasting then? It is what? Excluded. He said, by what law? Of works? Is it by what I do? No. He said, no. But by the law of faith. So since it is by faith I receive it, I can't boast of what I do to provide it. No boasting at all. No boasting at all. Ask your neighbor, where is boasting? It's gone. Can't boast. You can't come into church and say, Lord, you know, I'm senior pastor. I'm the senior pastor here. So I need special privilege. God said, no, it's not by boasting. It's by the blood. You come, Obi comes by the blood. She comes by the blood. Everybody comes by the blood. Every boss comes by the blood. Say, where is boasting? Righteous man, where is boasting? You think it's your righteousness? He said, where is boasting? It's excluded. Completely excluded. Because if you believe this thing, I was just sharing with her. If you believe this thing, listen to me. Your life will turn exactly what God wants it to be. Without effort. Because that covenant guarantees you divine work in your life. For it is God that works in you to will and to do of what? But it's not by power. It's not by might. It's by his what? Spirit. You don't struggle with it. You don't. Next Sunday we'll continue. You can't struggle with this thing. You find your life to... Without effort, without nothing, you start walking in love, you start walking in compassion. You start walking in the character of Christ without knowing. You just realize that that's exactly what your nature is turning to be. When you talk now, you talk in love. Even your wife will notice that my husband is now changed. It's not before. Now you see, he will just smile and say, honey, okay, is that the way you want it? Let's do it that way. Papa Sam, are you okay? No. He has learned that it's not by boasting. He has surrendered it into the hand of he who is able to make him what he wants him to be. And that route is through the route of this covenant, the new and living way, through which we approach the power of God. We come into the presence of God to obtain mercy and grace that we need so much to make us who we are. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Come on, I said, praise the Lord. On Sunday, we'll continue. On Sunday, we're going to really dissect the New Testament really through. I want you to understand it in detail so you know exactly what God did for you. So your Easter will be celebrated in faith. And it's not just dancing, but you can show forth the product of the result of all of this cross thing, all of this being blood thing. You can show forth. You can show in your life, show in your circumstance, show in your place of work, and you become a wonder. And people need to explain you because you're operating the covenant of a power outside this world.